Dark Cast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
How are you doing this week? Rephrase the question.
Well, I'm sore because I did my first turbo fire workout since like 2009, 10. No, like since 2013. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was 2013 was the last time I did a turbo fire workout.
I think I tried to do one with you, and I was like, oh my god.
Possibly.
Oh my god, my body hurts.
Yeah, so I did one yesterday. They're super fun, but then, you know, you're like, ah, I needed to take a break, or I need to breathe for, you know, a few seconds, or I need some water, you know.
Yeah.
So I need to get my stamina back. Well, actually, it's not even really my stamina, it's just, because, you know, you're doing the same movements, or variations of movements for this. That one I did was the Fire 30, which I think that one is like my favorite one to do. And the Hit 15 are my favorite too. Cause the Hit 15 is only 15 minutes and it's all Hit, workout.
Mm-hmm.
So then today I did yoga, and then tomorrow I will do another turbo fire workout. So I'm incorporating all kinds of things because I have the FitOn. I paid for, you know, the premium FitOn because FitOn is an app where there's all free. All the workouts are free.
But you pay for the app.
I pay for the premium, yeah, because it has like nutrition and insights and shit like that, like stuff. Like you get the workouts.
What is this called?
FitOn.
FitOn. Holler at me, bookoflifepodcast@gmail.com, and I'll keep this information in.
Yeah, it's an app. It's a fitness app. I mean, there are billions of them, but this one, you know, it gives you all the workouts are free.
Let me message them right now before I forget.
Anyway, so I've been trying to work out, and then I got on the scale and I weigh more than I did 2 days ago, and I'm like, what the hell?
Have you pooped lately?
Actually, I haven't.
That's the problem. Once you poop, you're gonna be good.
I have not, actually. So,
oh, Gabrielle Union's
yeah. Her and Juliana Huff.
Gabby!
And a couple of other celebrity trainers or whatever they're called. They're not trainers. They're something else. So, yeah, I've been exercising and crocheting. I'm going to have to put these hats on hold so I can make some stuff for the pop-up. Because mm-hmm. I only have one, two, maybe three things for the pop-up. So I'm going to make a bunch of small things, like cup holders, like cup cozies.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do some cup cozies, which are, you know, really quick to do. Maybe some scrubbies, like dish scrubbies. And
out of yarn?
They have scrubby. They actually have scrubby yarn. And then some, like, towel hangers, because, like, I looked it up, and, like, those are some things that sell really good at, like, events.
Okay.
And then I'm going to, you know, work on some quick hats, like the Hello Kitty hat that I did. That was really quick to do.
Okay.
Make
a few of those. Like, I would make two of those, and those would sell. How much did you sell for, like, 15?
12.
12?
Yeah.
Bump it up to 15.
Probably a couple more of those butterfly tops in different colors. The color that I did, I won't do it in that color. Whatever. I bought some specific yarn for them, so I'm going to do those. And then I wanted to do, like, some Disney character hats.
Okay.
Because remember I made Gracie that Minnie Mouse hat?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's
She was so tiny with that hat.
I know, right? So, yeah, there's, like, I could do Minnie, Mickey, Donald, and Daisy hats.
It's the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
So, yeah, well, except I don't have Goofy or Pluto. But, yeah.
Look, fuck them dogs. And apparently Goofy's a cow.
What?
Oh, or is he a dog?
He's a dog.
But his
girlfriend... Bossy's a cow.
His girlfriend's a cow. What's her name?
Bossy.
Mm-mm.
Clarabelle. Bossy's yeah. from something else.
Okay, because yeah. I was like, I don't know who Bossy is.
Yeah, Bossy's from another cartoon, but yeah, Clarabelle.
She's a cow. Okay. Fuck them dogs.
His girlfriend's a cow.
Clarabelle's his girl.
That shit is funny. But look, Donald gets another dog. Yes. Minnie gets another dog. Yes. And Goofy gets a cow.
Gets a cow because he's a big dog. I don't get it.
And it doesn't make sense. Okay, now we're going down this rabbit hole. It doesn't make sense that Pluto can't talk, but Goofy's also a dog and he can.
Because Pluto is a canine dog. Goofy is a walking, talking dog. He's a goof.
Yeah, he is a goof. They call him the goof. So, yeah, it's weird. Anyway, so that's my week. What's going on with you? What's happening? What's new with you this week or whatever that was?
I've caught a seasonal cold.
Fun!
Listen, my youngest had the sickness and I was like, we're doing a COVID test because we got all these fucking COVID tests. We have a bunch of COVID tests at our house. So I was like, let's do this. And I was like, let me stick this in your nose. No, mom, I want to do it. I want to do it. And she was just like dabbing it. I was like, no, get it in there. And I was like, wah, wah, wah. Negative. Great. So we just have a cold and it sucks. But besides that, I met my mentor who's someone else, like my real estate mentor. Mm-hmm. Because as a newbie, not sold anything and new to the industry. And new to the company, I have to have a mentor for my first 3 transactions.
Do they get,
Yeah, them niggas get some money.
Yeah, I remember, but that was another thing that I was like, wait, what? Like,
excuse me? But yeah. Don't get me wrong, I get it. It's like, oh, you're getting compensated for training and helping and wah, wah. So I met with her and she showed me how to, put together my documents for my offers and where to go and how to put it in. So she was very helpful, and she was, oh, this bitch told me about some shit that she got into. She said she used to, worked for her brother who was an engineer, and they were doing something. And there was an attorney that worked for the company too, and the attorney was like copying their paycheck stubs and falsifying them, and he was doing some fraud shit. He was taking out loans and like moving money around and all kinds of stuff.
Wait. He was an attorney.
He was an attorney for their company, I guess.
Okay, so he worked for the company, but how did he get their paycheck stuff?
I have no idea.
Because I was like, if he was in payroll, that makes sense.
Brandy, I have no idea. She was telling me about that. I was like, okay, so he's falsifying documents. And she was
applying
like,
for loans. But his own loans, not under somebody else's name, right?
No, they were under his name, okay. I believe. And he was just like, you know,
saying that he made more money than
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's just like
falsifying financial documents.
It is hard enough out there. It's hard being an entrepreneur. It's hard like starting your own business. It's hard getting your clients and keeping money. But y'all fools that be out there, like, I'm just gonna fake it until you catch me.
Okay, because that's not even like I'm trying to like do, you know, trying to succeed. It's just I'm gonna. What were the loans for?
I don't know. Listen, I just met this woman yesterday, and she spilled a little tea with me. Mm-hmm. But so I did that. I was watching a lot of Netflix, and I want to talk about Young, Famous, and African. Have you seen that on Netflix?
No.
Oh my God, it's so good! I totally watched this season. Katie posted it on For Your References Instagram. How y'all doing? We miss you so much. Can't wait to come to Australia. Get a room ready. They're not letting people in their country either. No, they're not. For like 4 years.
It's like nobody, especially from here. Nobody. Y'all don't want to wear masks, so.
For real. But I watched it. I think it's like 6 or 7 episodes. And it's like, it's fun. They're like in South Africa. And there's like, you know, entertainment, art, rappers, mostly rappers.
It's South African people or people from all over?
They're African all countries. Over Africa. They meet up in South Africa.
Oh, like, wait. Is Soulja Boy on there?
No. Okay. But he looks like Soulja Boy. No. His name is...
I mean Soulja Boy from 90 Day Fiancé Soulja Boy.
I don't know who that is.
Usman Soulja Boy.
No.
Okay.
No. These are like real, like, they're famous in Africa. They're famous in their countries.
Okay. Let me put a pin in that real quick. Soulja Boy is a rapper from Nigeria who has been on 90 Day Fiancé twice. Oh. Both women who were dating him, elderly white women, over the age of, well, this one that he's with now is like 59.
How old is he?
26.
What's his deal? He just wants
he's a rapper.
A visa?
No, he doesn't even want to come here. He doesn't even want to come here. That's what's funny. These ladies contact him, and then they start chatting or whatever. The first one he married, and she was awful. Awful, awful person. Baby girl Lisa, he wrote a song about her and everything. So they had their season. They got married in Nigeria. And she's a like nasty old hag. Smoked all the time. She was jealous of everything. Like, he's a rapper.
Was she the one who went out there? The white woman who went out there? Whatever. Go ahead. Continue. I don't know.
Right. So they got divorced, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And she got kicked off because she was using the N-word.
Oh.
And then this season, this current season right now, there's another chick that has gone over there. Her name is Kimbali. He calls her Kimbali. Her name's Kimberly.
Kimbali.
Kimbali. Kimbali. So Kimbali has gone over there. She's over there now, and she's mad at him because when she got there, he didn't want to sleep with her. They were seeing if they could have a relationship because he was like, I don't want to do all of this. I want to make sure that we are compatible, and I want to, get to know you, get to know your personality.
Do you think he's just doing this to, for exposure for his
these chicks chase him. They're the ones applying to get on the show. So he's, I don't think he's doing anything. I think they're doing it. But so yeah, they're now in a relationship. They're together. So it's a whole thing, but I'm just like, but he wasn't on this show.
Okay. No.
And
no.
He's famous in Nigeria. So,
well, there was two people from Nigeria on the show.
Okay.
One was, he's a stylist and he bagged. I can't even think of his name, but he got it. Like, he comes out, anytime he's dressed, he is dressed.
Okay. Is he gay?
Yes.
Okay.
and he styles a bunch of people. Uh-huh. So a lot of the people are his friends. So he brings this one chick over, her name's Annie. She's from Nigeria, and apparently she's an actress over there, and she's been in, lots of movies. And her husband is an artist by the name of Tubaba or Two-Face Innocent or something like that.
Wait, and he Tubaba or Two-Face Innocent?
I think his name is Two-Face, but maybe in the country it's Tubaba. Maybe Baba means face. I don't fucking know. Because they were calling him Two-Face and they were calling him Tubaba. And I was like, what is his name?
And where does Innocent come in?
His name is Two-Face Innocent. That's his name.
I hate
that. And then they
names.
Would call him Innocent. But he sings that song, African Queen.
Okay.
And so he came up and all this stuff. So that's Annie's husband. And he did dirt on her. He's got kids outside wedlock. And so she's real insecure. But he had kids with other people before they got married, but he was with her. So she'd be on Google Googling her husband, wondering what the fuck he's doing.
I think that's what a lot of people do.
I don't Google my husband when I
know.
No,
you don't have to.
Right.
But famous
stars,
yes.
Well, they're on there. And, at first I really didn't like, it's not that I didn't like Annie. I was just like, girl, you got issues. I really did learn to like her. So those two are from Nigeria. Then there's, one from Tanzania.
Do they all live in the same house or something?
No.
Oh, okay.
Cool. And they're all doing different events. So each episode is someone's event. You know how they do it. Someone has an event or have a party.
Right.
Or they're, it's something.
But they all interact with each other?
Yeah, they're all all in the same circle.
Okay.
We all have the same, drama. We're all rich.
Right.
We're all famous.
But at least it's rich black problems and not rich white problems.
Girl, and they're like,
which are all the
we're
same
putting,
anyway.
We're putting Africa on the map. They're going to know what's going on. I want to go to South Africa. It looks beautiful. Honestly, I imagine South Africa totally different from what I saw on that show. I was just interesting.
South Africa is actually really developed.
Yes.
However, there is another person on the 90 Day Fiancé shows that is from South Africa. He's a white South African with this red hair. His name is Sinjin, and he's married to this American chick from, I think she's from Connecticut, named Tanya.
Weird.
And went to South Africa.
Let's
and
do
their house, they have dirt floors. So, but he's from South Africa. And then there's another couple. The husband is also from South Africa, and she is from Florida. And his house, his apartment looks like it could be in Miami. So
maybe he lives in the same apartment that this other chick lives in.
Except for he doesn't have a job, so I don't know how the hell he's... Oh, she's paying for everything. Never mind. Anyway.
I think we should do a Patreon episode, and maybe it should be on 90 Day Fiancé or
possibly.
Something. You love 90 Day Fiancé. And I'm okay with watching like some seasons or whatever to do that. But that's what I watched that. I've been watching a lot of stuff on Netflix.
How many episodes are there or seasons or whatever?
There's like, there's one season that just started, just premiered. Okay. And there's like 6 or 7 episodes.
Okay, and it's on Hulu?
It's on Netflix.
Netflix,
it's
all
a
right.
quick binge. All like, they try
I'll
to,
watch it.
They're trying to keep me on because, listen, I'm about to cut Netflix ass off. Their price is rising like gas.
Everybody's canceling Netflix. Like, people, it's funny because on Twitter people are like, yeah, so I just canceled my Netflix. I'm just like... Because I'm tempted.
I'm about to too.
I have too many streaming services.
Me though. Too. And listen, let's seriously. We don't talk about Bruno.
They be talking about, you know, are you sharing your Netflix account? Blah blah blah. Like that's the thing. They're trying to keep people from sharing their in login credentials. Like, and across a bunch of platforms are talking about, like, if
well, that's what Netflix was doing. That's why they put the thing, the limitation on the amount of screens I could be watching at the same time.
Yeah. Unless you pay for them.
I pay for 4.
Oh, shit.
And okay. I need to knock it down.
I only pay for 2.
$18.99? How much does yours go up to?
I don't even know. Because it's mine is through Apple, so it comes out, like, weird. It doesn't, like, usually, like, everything else is through PayPal, but that one's through Apple. So
I got an
weird.
Email, and they were like, we gonna bill your ass $20 a month for Netflix. So I'm just like, But I canceled my my Apple Plus, so when that shit tries to renew, it's canceling, because I just got charged for that shit. I'm never canceling my Hulu. That's never gonna happen.
Yeah, you can't cancel.
I love Hulu. Y'all safe for now. Don't fuck up. I got Amazon. Yeah, I got Disney Plus,
and I have Showtime and Stars and fucking Epics through. No, I have Stars and Epics through Roku, and I have Showtime through Hulu.
I needed to get that Showtime through Hulu because they had that offer for like $5 a month for 6 months for Showtime. They always bring that back every year.
Yeah, get that because I don't have that.
It's like $10 now. Anyway, sorry. So we totally got off topic. Guys, we're going to be collaborating with...
Look Back Cinema Podcast.
Yes, Look Back Cinema Podcast. We are going to be collaborating with them, so look out for that episode, okay? Hey, I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Flakes.
And this is...
Book of Lies.
The podcast.
It's both, bitches.
She loves it. She loves it. Hello, listeners. How are you guys doing? We hope you are well. I've been walking a lot more. I'm going to walk around the corner. I'm just not.
Did you walk here?
Fuck no, I drove. I had to carry things. But I'm just like, when I'm not trying to make multiple trips. It's just like, this is happening. Everybody get in the car. Let's go.
Get in.
I hope you guys are well. Anyway,
get in, bitches. We're getting chicky nuggies.
Follow us if you aren't already. Connect with us on social. Twitter, Book of Lies Pod. Instagram or Facebook, Book of Lies Podcast. We have a website, bookoflicepodcast.com. Wherever you're listening now, subscribe. Follow. Come back. We miss you already. Hello to our wonderful patrons. We hope you guys are doing good. And, Brandy, what are we talking about today?
So today's episode is inspired by an episode of What a Creep Podcast.
Ooh, okay.
And they did an episode on Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court Justice, who is disgusting, and I can't stand him, and I can't wait for him to go away, and hopefully he goes away soon. And another justice can be nominated by... Joe Biden, and if you guys have a problem with that, fight me.
If you fight her, you fight me too!
Anyway. So this episode is about a company, the Human Potential Movement, whatever. Human Potential something, whatever. Anyway, so it is about a company called LifeSpring.
LifeSpring. Okay.
Company was big in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and they were part of the Human Potential Movement, which is, you know, those companies that, you know, tell you that you can do anything you want to do. You can do whatever you want to do. All you have to do is just get out of your own way. That kind of shit, right?
Okay. Easier said than done.
Well, they teach you how to do that.
Okay.
My sources for this are The Washington Post, an article called I Cried Enough to Fill a Glass by Mark Fisher that was published in on October 25th, 1987.
Oh.
This is the majority of my sources because this company was one of those that are so secretive that only people who were in it, you know, knew what was going on in it.
Okay.
It kind of like NXIVM.
Yeah, okay.
They only, you know, so if you were on the outside of the company, as in, like, you never heard of it, you just had no idea what they did.
Okay.
Even they when they would recruit people to come to their seminars, you didn't know what it was about.
They
Somebody was just like, hey, you got to do this.
You put this on your head and come.
Yeah, like, hey, not put it on your head, but, you know.
That sounded really creepy. Hey. I'm sorry, let me edit that.
Yeah, it was like, hey, this changed my life, you got to do it. That kind of
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, okay. Like, what do they call that shit, what the people used to do back in the day?
Word of mouth marketing?
Mm-mm. The groups that they would go to.
Yes, that's exactly what it's called. They're called large group awareness training. That's okay. That's what it's called. Because okay. The groups that they would come in would be like 150 to 200 people. LifeSpring was founded by John Hanley in 1974 with a couple other people, Robert White, Randy Revell, and Charlene Aframau. However, John Hanley was the main person in charge. He owned like 92% of the company. So the other three, you know, there's really not whole, there's no mention of them anywhere in any of the articles. We only hear about John Hanley. John Hanley was adopted by an engineer and a registered nurse when he was 18 months old. And in 1969, he was found guilty of 6 counts of mail fraud. In a scam where he and his partner sold toilet cleaning service territories. So they would, you know, be like, okay, you'll have territory A, you'll pay me. Their the amount they were paying was $7,500,000.
$7,500,000.
Okay.
Damn. How old are you? Like 4? Making up numbers.
$75,000 a year. And they...
$75,000 a year? That's too much money.
I'm sorry. No, $7,500. $7,500.
Okay.
That's how much they were paying. So a person would pay $7,500 a year to you. You're John Hanley.
Mm-hmm.
John Hanley are going to give me service area A.
Right.
And I'm supposed to be able to make $18,000 a year on this service area.
Okay.
So I'm servicing all the toilets, or, you know, however many toilets in this area. And I should be making...
have contracts that right. I'm supposed to be able to walk in on and just take over.
And I'm supposed to be making $18,000 a year.
Okay.
But these territories did not exist.
Fucking assholes.
So him and another person who was his partner, they got in trouble. And they were found guilty. And so he received a 5-year suspended sentence and a fine of $1,000. And this was in 1969.
That's a tap on the wrist.
Pretty much. After which, he joined a company called Holiday Magic, which was supposed to be another multi-level marketing company. Holiday Magic, however, got in trouble with the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and they charged them with robbing about 80,000 people out of more than $250 million.
Fuck! Oh my God.
Holiday Magic was supposed to be a cosmetics and soap company. And of course they had like household goods and things like that. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Amway.
I was thinking Amway.
Yeah,
sure.
Amway. Like, you know, one of those. Yeah. One of those, we have all of your needs at this company.
Yeah.
Well, they were liars. And so... they got in trouble, SEC charged them, and the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, found them guilty of deceptive trade practices and ordered a full restitution to their investors. This was in 1973.
People have been running game for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, people want your money.
Yeah. So they were ordered to pay about $2 million back, their investors, and they were also... it says ordered to make further restitution. I don't know what that means. So maybe they were fined. I don't know. John Hanley moved on from Holiday Magic and he created LifeSpring, which was a program that was designed to help people all be all they can be. Oh, I forgot to mention this. They were also in a company called So he learned the techniques that they used in LifeSpring. He learned them from a company called Mind Dynamics, which also got in trouble and had a bunch of lawsuits. So that company, you know, folded. And he moved on from Mind Dynamics to start LifeSpring. Mind Dynamics was another one of those, whatever the fuck I said before, mm-hmm. that word,
yes.
that phrase.
Large
group training. So it was another one of those, except they, you know, they employed certain tactics. Large group awareness training. LGAT is what they're called, mm-hmm. like LGAT, but whatever. So yes, that's basically what this is. So after he left that company, he created LifeSpring, designed to help people be all they can be. And so they, in this organization, you get your new customers are called trainees. And then they have trainers, and then they have what they call the leadership program. People in the leadership program are the trainer. People who have graduated from the leadership program are trainers. Mm-hmm. In these trainings, and they have tiers. So there's the basic training, mm-hmm. the advanced training, and then the leadership program.
Okay,
so there's three levels. And in this organization, they tell their trainees that they can do anything they want to do and that they have complete control of their lives. They are responsible for everything that happens to them and in their lives. They also tell them that during the course that they aren't allowed to question the training.
I hate that.
And they have to follow the rules unquestioningly. They have to agree to follow the rules. If they have a problem with following a rule, if they cannot follow a rule, if they don't want to follow a rule, they are asked to leave.
Get out.
But I'm not going to be your fucking cow, dude. I'm not just going to moo. Could you tell me to moo? Why am I mooing?
Well, they said they won't be asked to do anything illegal. And I think it said, or immoral.
Just give me all of your money.
Well, no, they didn't ask them to do that.
Okay, great.
It cost $450 in 1983 or 84 to take the basic training.
Okay.
$450. It was at a point where companies were paying or reimbursing their employees to take these courses. Okay. That's how prevalent they became.
Okay.
They had 15 offices across the country. They even had one in Honolulu, Hawaii.
I'd go there.
So you could take a course. They're based in, here in California, they were based in Fremont. Up
in the Bay?
Yeah. Corporations encouraged their employees to take the courses and reimburse them for doing so. Some of those companies that did this were AT&T, American Express, the fucking federal government. There were so many. In this article, this specific article, the only article that's about this freaking thing, from it, the inside, there were a lot of people. This one, the one that he took was in the D.C. area. Lots of government officials, state officials.
Weird.
What
are we learning? What are they learning?
People from the State Department. You're learning how to be your best self.
Fuck off.
So, even the Air Force and places like the San Jose Police Department were paying for their people to do these trainings. Mm. And it wasn't just high up people. College students took it, housewives, construction people, business owners. The course was 5 days long, and it was hours-long sessions. So it was Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday all day, and Sunday all day and night. There then was a Tuesday night post-training session after you graduated from the basic training. Mm-hmm. There would be a Tuesday night post-training session and then an interview. The evening sessions began at 6:30 p.m. and lasted until 11:30 or midnight and sometimes later. Mm-hmm. Saturday session started at 10 a.m. and lasted till midnight.
No.
Sunday sessions started at 9 a.m. and lasted until 6 p.m.
Nobody has all this time. I really don't have all this time.
It's a commitment. And that's one of the things that like, you have to commit. The rules are you have to commit. If you can't miss a day, you're asked to leave. I mean, if you have to miss a day, you're asked to leave.
Damn.
part of the rules, everyone was instructed to be in their seat before the end of the music at the beginning of the thing. You know how they play music while everybody comes in or whatever? Well, the song that they played was only like a minute and 17 seconds long. If you weren't in your seat before the music ended, you were singled out and chastised in front of everyone. A group of 150 to 200 people. The trainings were designed to elicit strong emotional respondents that usually led to almost the entire group of trainees bawling their eyes out or sobbing. They tell you when you sign up that there will be a lot of some of the exercises will be confrontational. Some of them will be emotional, and this is all the things that are supposed to happen. And the reason, okay, so they in the episode of What a Creep, they mention his wife,
mm-hmm.
who took this training, and she decided that it was a cult, and so she started like something about cult awareness and shit like that. She's an awful person, mm-hmm. but this is not about her. This is about LifeSpring.
Got it.
Because I was like, what? I think I got lost. Because I was like, wait a minute.
It was inspired by them because they mentioned it. And I was LifeSpring. Like, I'm going to look at that.
Got it.
Okay.
Bum. Got it.
Because I was like, what are you talking about?
Thurgood Marshall, right?
No. Not at all.
Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas, the asshole justice. The training consisted of a series of lectures and experiential processes designed to show the participants a new way of dealing with life situations and concerns, and how other plausible explanations or interpretations might lead to different results. Some of the people who took the course complained that they felt harangued, embarrassed, or humiliated by the trainers during their training. And a few of them chose not to complete the training and they fucking left. Whether or not they got refunds, I do not know. They do say that the advanced training is non-refundable, so I don't know if basic training was refundable.
Mm-hmm.
The trainers also used words, English words, that have definitions in Webster's Dictionary and in the fucking... You're killing me. The Oxford Dictionary.
Oxford Dictionary.
So, they have definitions in these dictionaries. These words already fucking exist. Okay, but like our favorite fucking scammer, con artist, psychopath, L. Ron Hubbard, they changed the meaning of certain words.
Mm.
So, words like conclusion, which they defined as a belief, and words like responsibility, space, surrender, experience, trust, consideration, unreasonable, righteous, totally participate from your head, openness, and letting go were also redefined, and they were assigned to a specific meaning. Meanings that weren't their actual meanings.
So trying to make up their own language.
They were using words that were like, you're not being open, which means that you're not taking what I'm saying as gospel when I'm literally saying words
you.
That... I'm saying words that will actually mean fucking nothing, but you need to understand that what I'm saying to you is what is true. That kind of shit.
The fur opens.
They said a lot of things. There were a lot of things in this article that were spouted off by the trainer that literally are just a bunch of, like, fucking, what's his name from WeWork? Saying words, a bunch of words together, but they don't mean shit. That's what was happening here. And I was like, what? This doesn't mean anything. You're not saying anything. You're saying words.
They look for people who are looking for direction, who are easily swayed.
Well, here's what. The people who took these courses were educated people. People that were highly educated. Most of the people who took these courses had college degrees.
There's lots of dummies out there still, though.
But they, again, they came because my friend took it and changed his life.
Ah.
That kind of shit.
Referrals.
But they were doing stuff to this. So they were actually practicing manipulation and sort of mind control on these people.
Okay.
Like with these long-ass sessions and making them do these...
I'm exhausted.
...guided visualizations and things like that.
Put
they had one thing that was called...
social security number and birthday.
The word stretch, it was an activity. So they're like, you're going to do a stretch. And that was an activity that was outside of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to do. We're gonna stretch you. We're going to put you outside of your comfort zone. That's not what that means.
That's not what stretch means.
But no. Okay. But the stretches were during the advanced courses. And so people did things that, like, the goal of this, the goal of the program was a breakthrough. You needed to have a breakthrough.
Let me ask you some questions. Do you remember what it was like when you watched a really good movie with your family or your friends? You remember that feeling that got you so hyped that you guys just couldn't stop talking about it? You remember the bonds you formed over that movie? I want to try to bring those feelings back. My name is Zoe, the host of the Backlick Cinema Podcast. Me and my son Zach watch movies that I loved when I was growing up that he had never seen before. It's a bonding exercise between us. On the podcast, I share what we thought about that movie, why we liked it, our favorite parts. I find some interesting trivia, and we find out what the critics thought about that movie. So join me at Backlick Cinema to recapture that feeling of excitement with friends and family over those movies of yesteryear. Available wherever you listen to podcasts or at backlickcinema.com.
Yeah, fucking weird, right? The way they did this were through group activities. They had group activities. They had dyads, which were, you know, two people sitting in front of each other, staring at each other, yelling at each other, doing whatever they were instructed to do. And their dyads, you know, they would, again, what I just said, they would stare into each other's eyes and they would speak. So in one exercise, they would tell each other something that was like something that elicited an emotion, like either they were embarrassed or they were hurt or they were shamed in some way. So I might tell you, I was bullied in high school to a point where every day I would go to school, and before school I would have explosive diarrhea. That's how bad I was bullied.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would tell me when I was younger, I killed a rabbit. Okay. I tortured and killed a rabbit. Things like that. Like, they would tell people shit that was like, wow. You know, stuff you wouldn't want to tell anybody.
Right, because I was wondering if they were going to expose your secrets or
they
something.
They did.
Yeah.
But, and that was part of the process. Mm-hmm. Like, they would relive traumas.
Mm-hmm.
And these trainers and John Hanley, none of these people have degrees in psychology. Mm-hmm. None of these people have
experience right?
in psychological... Wait, what?
Still the 70s or it's the 80s now?
This is the 80s. It started in the 70s. It lasted until the 90s.
Okay.
None of these people have any background in psychotherapy, in regressive, you know, therapy. None of these people have any fucking idea of how they're basically fucking with people's minds. Because that's what this is.
Mind fucking.
Pretty much.
Okay.
So people would be, they would regress. Some people, not all of them, but some people would regress back to the womb. It got to that point. People regressed that way because they of these exercises that they were doing.
Wow.
Yeah. So they would tell each other about a time where they were a victim, and that could mean in a fight or in business or in a relationship. They would then retell the story as if what happened to them was their own fault.
They're accepting accountability for it.
Taking responsibility.
Taking responsibility.
That's what they call it. Responsibility. Mm-hmm. They were taking, and that's what it said. This is taking responsibility. So they would take. Oh, I was walking down a dark alley, and some guy jumped out at me, held a gun to my ribs, and.
Raped me, stole my money, and it's my fault.
Victimized me.
Fuck that shit.
I was responsible for that happening.
No, I wasn't. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and this motherfucker took advantage.
It's not even the wrong place at the wrong time. I was where I was supposed to be, and this motherfucker came out, and I hate that phrase, wrong place, wrong time. Because if I'm sleeping in my bed, and a bullet comes through my wall, and I'm gone, it's not wrong place, wrong time. It's where I was supposed to be, and this is what happened because these assholes out here were doing shit they weren't supposed to be doing.
Well, kind of like when I picked those dandelions out of the front yard, and I caught some ants on accident. And I was
You said they were in the wrong place at the wrong time.
The ants,
they were where they were supposed to be, but then you decided to pluck them out of their environment.
Yeah. Well, I decided to save some of them.
Okay, we're not talking about ants. Fuck them ants.
Sorry.
fuck them ants. They also had a thing that was sharing, and it was basically like confessing, and that's when they told secrets and shit.
Okay.
But they did this at the microphone in front of the entire room.
Oh.
So a person would come up to the mic, and then they would reveal whatever they were experiencing. And when they say experiencing, that basically means a memory.
Mm-hmm.
One of these memories that they just fucking pulled out of them. And
they
have to tell us. So yeah, some of them told about, you know, their parents, how their parents were harsh, or they were cheated on, or they were lied to, or they were raped, or how they've been living a life of self-hate. Terrible, right? So you're taking responsibility for bad shit that's happened to you.
Right.
And this is not the only organization that has done this whole take responsibility
for bad. What is it supposed
to
do? Is it supposed to give me my freedom?
It's supposed to tell you that you are responsible for everything that happens in your life. So what are you going to do about it? You are going to now have control over things. And people left this thing believing that they could control things that were not in their control.
Okay.
And so bad shit started happening.
Okay.
Again, they had the stretch, which was part of an advanced course, and they, you know, would instruct these trainees to do the one thing that would humiliate them the most.
Oh my God.
One man had to put on a pink tutu and dance like a ballerina. A woman had to, I don't know if she did it, but she was told to wear a tiny bikini and stand on a busy corner in the area where they had this training on a Saturday night and lead a parade of men through the street.
That's ridiculous.
Because apparently this was the most humiliating thing that she could ever do. Mm.
The most humiliating thing I could ever do is eat a donut in front of all of you guys.
Eat this box of donuts. So it wouldn't be just eating a donut. Like, and it would make you eat a box of donuts or two dozen donuts in front of the group.
The most embarrassing thing I could do is spend all of your money.
Okay, because I'd be like, how can I benefit from this?
Here, take my money.
Take my wallet and go to Neiman Marcus.
Oh,
okay.
I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, my God. They did an exercise where, this is the one that Clarence Thomas's wife mentioned during her, because of course they interviewed her here. They did a thing where, let me cue up a song real quick. Okay, that song is a minute and 55 seconds long.
Wow, she had to dance to that?
The group had to disrobe into tiny bikinis and swimsuits. The men, I guess, had to wear banana hammocks, whatever. And they had to stand in front of their groups because they were in small groups. And the group would say horrible, awful things about your fat body.
Oh my God.
And ask you sexual questions.
Oh.
Does your husband like to fuck you with that fat body?
Sure does.
Shit like that.
Yeah, he does.
Awful shit.
He loves it.
Yeah, well, Clarence Thomas's wife is not exactly a bikini model.
Okay.
But they did this kind of shit, right?
Rude.
There was one training session where they did a guided visualization.
Mm-hmm.
They put on, you know, a sad-ass fucking song. And the trainer would speak in a low voice and you're walking through a field and it's a beautiful field and there's a brook. Oh, look over there, you see a deer. And you come to a bridge and across that bridge, there's a door. The door's not attached to anything and you're curious. So you go to that door and open it up. And behind that door is all the promises you've broken. Oh. It's a junkyard full of the promises that you've broken.
Oh my God.
Dig. You're going to dig through the promises that you've broken. And like they would be on their hands and knees, like literally scraping the floor, digging. And like it would elicit a broken promise. Like, oh, I promised my kids I would take them to Disneyland and I never took them. Oh, I promised my dad that I would continue the business, but I didn't and he died. And blah. Shit like that. And they'd be fucking crying.
Gas with these too high to take them to Disneyland. I can't do it.
Shit like that. Like, they would literally be weeping and sobbing while they're scratching the floor, digging with their eyes closed through this guided visualization while this asshole is yelling at them about their broken promises.
I'm not that chick.
And they had what they call breakthroughs from this. People left these fucking seminars feeling like they were fucking brand new people. It's really disheartening about how they did this to these people. So, as we move on, the one guy from, this is really weird. So, one guy from the training said that his mother wouldn't talk to him about sex. And so, he spent his elementary school years thinking that babies came from storks. He got made fun of, you know, the kids made fun of him in school because that's what he fucking, oh, babies come from storks. They're like, ha ha, you dumbass, you asshole, you idiot. He was so upset that he went home, went into the barn, and killed all the pigeons.
Wow, that's dark.
Right? He said that he didn't remember that he had done that until that episode, that day, that training session. This was on the third day.
He blocked it.
Yeah. They were bringing up, exactly, they were bringing up repressed memories.
Okay.
People were having fucking, you know, memories and shit. So, people started experiencing, like, literal fucking nervous breakdowns. Mm. They had psychotic episodes.
I've blocked so much shit. When someone tells me I did something, I'm like, no, I didn't. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Well, there's a difference between doing it while you're sober and doing it while you're not. But,
first of all, no. But people are like, oh, don't you remember back in the day when we did this? And I'm like, no. Like, I smoked those memories away a long time ago.
Well, they didn't have that choice back in the 80s. I mean, you know, it was illegal and stuff, so.
They were still smoking weed. No matter.
Not these uptight. All of the people that were in these classes were yuppies.
Fucking yuppies. I was thinking that word yuppie, too.
They were all yuppies. They weren't even, like, hippies. They were
Let's
yuppies.
Call this the yuppie yum yum. Life spring.
Okay. Yeah, you were. Yeah, why not?
Yuppie.
Yeah, because you would think that people who were taking these kind of courses were like hippies, you know, people who were seeking new age enlightenment. No, they were all yuppies. They wanted success. Uh-huh. The people who took these classes were trying to
self-help.
Succeed. So the trainer said something like this, and this is what I meant when I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? In life, you can be a victim or you can be responsible. We are 100% responsible for our lives. Everything about our culture says be a victim. Resignation. That's what everyone wants you to be. That's okay. But you know, being responsible is being alone. You're out there. And there's no evidence for it. You've had to be responsible, or you'd have to be responsible, and people would laugh at you and dismiss you. And you'd still have to be responsible and still love them. You'd have to turn away and take a stand. You. Alone. You'd be there like a rocket ship to the moon. You just can't sit there and want to get the training. You choose. You take a stand. Now, if you're ready to do that, let's do it. Shout it out. Say you're willing. Does any of that mean anything to you?
It means absolutely nothing to me.
Okay. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, there would be, like, just a bunch of words strung together in a sentence. But
yeah. There's no comprehension. Or maybe they're just like, yeah, I heard a word of that.
I mean, that was out of context, obviously. But that was the last thing that he said at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? So, in 1980, Lifespring had trained hundreds of servicemen at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. And the San Jose Police Department also, you know, used them as their training. Well, Vandenberg Air Force Base wrote a letter to the Pentagon. Well, the Air Force Base didn't, but whoever was in charge wrote a letter to the Pentagon. And also wrote it in press reports saying that Lifespring was a security risk because trainees would find their loyalties torn between military values and those taught by Lifespring. So,
maybe I should have thought about that before you sit in there.
a psychiatrist at Harvard had said that they would be loyal to LifeSpring, and so they stopped the training because their actions go against, not go against, but again, LifeSpring told them that they are responsible. They can control what happens.
Mm-hmm.
They're responsible for anything that happens in their lives or even around them.
Mm-hmm.
So if it came down to fighting in a war, you know, they might think that they can fucking go and take out, you know, the Vladimir Putin or something. You know what I'm saying?
We're not at war, but that war is still happening.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. It is. And then the San Jose Police Department announced that they were dropping LifeSpring after the chief decided that graduates had endangered the lives of innocent citizens.
Oh, shit.
In one case, the chief said then an officer who had taken the LifeSpring courses decided against department policy to drop his gun and approach a hostage taker to listen to the man. The whoever was taking the hostages.
Yeah.
The policeman was then taken hostage.
Idiot.
He let go. He, had, I guess, had a female hostage.
Yeah.
Let her go and took the cop as a hostage.
Because he was like, you weak ass, weak. You're mine now. We gonna have to get out of this LifeSpring business. Because,
yeah, but basically that's it. People were coming away from this company.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to get everybody in their lives to do it because then they could all be doing it together, and that would solidify their relationships.
No, I don't want to do it.
One chick said that she did it, and she's like 18. She said she was taking the course because her boyfriend had taken it, and it scared the shit out of her. So she took it. Another one said that he was taking it because his brother-in-law and a couple of other family members took it, and again, it changed their lives. Like, these people... People came away raving about it and were like, you need to take this. You need to take this. You need to take this. It's great. It's wonderful. You know, I can do things that I never thought I could do kind of shit.
Butterfly in the sky. Uh-huh. I can fly to high.
Well, that's about reading. So you can read. Go ahead and read.
No. Nobody. No, that, this is the LifeSpring song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
Just take a look. It's in a book. No, you're right. It is Reading Rainbow.
Okay, so on the last day, on the day of graduation... Of course, they would do a pitch about taking the next course, advancing to the next level. So you can take...
Next level.
Since you're graduating, you know, you really want... You want to keep doing this. You want to keep... Because people were leaving saying, oh my gosh, how do I continue this in my life? Mm-hmm. Well, and they said the best way to keep doing it is to keep doing it.
Is that the best way to do it?
Right.
Keep doing it.
So go ahead and you can sign up for our next course. So in a week, one of our leaders is going to contact you. And when they do, you better have your checkbook ready. Have mm-hmm. your credit card ready. Because we are going to get you signed up now. The advanced course was a non-refundable $850 in 1987. Which in today's money is $2,122.
Damn, they're making money!
No, sorry, 1984. In 1984, that was $2,122. Whatever. And he would, so when he started on the first day, the trainer would say, you already have everything you want in life. And they'd be like, no, you know, people, because they would, the first question was, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Someone would say, I want a Lamborghini. What do you want? I want a husband. What do you want? I want a promotion. What do you want? I want $1 million.
I want dinner cooked at my house.
Okay. So, and then he would say, well, you guys already have everything you want. And people would be like, no, we don't. No. And they were like, yes, you do. Because if you really wanted it, you would already have it.
God damn. I'm sorry. Let me go. I gotta go.
So at the
get
end.
Get out of here.
Uh-huh. And so people would be like, no, I don't. You know, and then they would go into all these fucking trainings. Well, at the end of the graduation, he said it again. What do you want? You already have everything. You already have everything you want in life. What do you want? And so then he would say, that's what this whole training is about. Be, do, have. Just be who you are, and you will do what you do, and you will have what you want.
Because do what you do.
You already have what you want. Because if you didn't want it...
You wouldn't have it.
You wouldn't have it. And if you don't have it, you don't want it. So
get this trickery out of here. I want the money. It's not my fault. I don't have it.
So if I didn't want poverty, if I didn't want cancer, if I didn't want pestilence, I wouldn't have it. Right? I wouldn't have it if I didn't want it. I want it.
You must want cancer, huh?
And then he used examples of, there was apparently a story about a boy in San Jose who, there was a sick girl down the street who needed a heart. And he said, I wish the little girl down the street could have my heart. And then he was hit by a car and she got his heart.
Oh my God!
And then there was some lady in New Jersey. There was like a whole thing in the 80s about, you know, the right to die situation where, remember, what was her name? The coma chick. I'm not talking about the one from the early 2000s. This one's from the 80s. This lady, she wanted...
Shelby from...
No. Nobody's...
Dale Magnolias?
No. I'm dying. Anyway. Some woman from the 80s, she wrote in her journal before she died, I just want to go to sleep and have someone take care of me for the rest of my life. She took a bunch of pills, and then she went into a coma. She was in a coma for 10 years, and someone was taking care of her. So he was like, they got what they wanted. Because they wanted it, right? Completely extreme, weird-ass cases, and you're talking about them.
Sir, please don't try and wordsmith me.
Then he talks about Japan and Germany and World War II. You know, they wanted to control the world economy, and then they
did it.
What did he say? No, they surrendered. You have to surrender. And they surrendered, and now what kind of car do you drive? Do you drive a car from Japan or Germany? Because, you know, fucking Volkswagens and fucking...
I do drive a fucking Japanese car now.
There you go. So, you know, they use these weird, ideas.
I want podcast total domination. I want millions of dollars of ad revenue a month.
Well, annually, if you wanted it, you would have it.
Bah, bitch!
Exactly. And they use these outlandish examples for shit that is, like, totally crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, as with everything that's crazy and extreme, they had issues, such as 6 trainees died from taking this fucking course.
Oh, my God.
And about 35 people sued LifeSpring.
Nice.
The charges ranged from involuntary servitude to wrongful death. According to the suits, the trainings... they place them under extreme psychological stress in order to make change. So here's a couple of examples of their lawsuits. A woman named Gabriela Martinez testified that she heard her trainer's voice in her head, and so she swallowed a bottle of sleeping pills.
Was he telling you to swallow the sleeping pills?
Who knows what she was saying? She was hearing it in her head.
Okay. I was just wondering what she was hearing in her head.
LifeSpring settled out of court for an undisclosed amount.
They gave her a mil.
I don't think they gave anybody a mil, but they gave somebody $80,000.
Okay.
In 1993, a lawyer from Pittsburgh by the name of Peter N. Georgiadis won a $750,000 settlement for one of the trainees who was institutionalized for 2 years.
Oh my God.
After the training.
Mm-mm.
In 1982, the family of David Priddle accepted an undisclosed sum when they sued LifeSpring after he jumped off a building.
Oh my God.
Because he probably thought he could fly, because again, LifeSpring tells you that you can do whatever it is that you want to do.
I just realized we've got a cult here.
Uh-huh. Artie Barnett's family reached an out-of-court settlement when Barnett, who could not swim, drowned during a LifeSpring training. They told him that
If you want to swim, you should know how to swim.
No, they said something like God, I can't remember. I didn't copy it down, but it was something specific that they said. Yeah, it was something like you're underestimating or something like that. So you should go jump in the river, and he did.
Oh my God!
Right. A woman named Gail Renick's family received $450,000 after she died from an asthma attack during a training session. They told her that she didn't need her asthma medication anymore, and that her asthma attacks were all from her own choosing. She was choosing to have panic attacks. Asthma attacks. She was having an asthma attack. She wandered into a fucking parking lot and collapsed, was in a coma for 5 days and died.
Oh my gosh, that's so sad.
A woman in Seattle. Oh, that's the same one. Gail Renick. They settled Another case. Oh, no. This one, in 1983, they won a verdict for a woman named Florence Simpson, who she said LifeSpring should have warned her of the emotional stress that could result from the training. They argued that she should have heeded the company's instruction that people with psychological problems ought not take the course. So in their paperwork, when they have you sign the paperwork to take this class, mm-hmm. it says people with psychological problems.
Psychological damage.
Should not take this course. Or no, ought not. O-U-G-H-T. Ought not take this course.
O-U-G-H-T.
Now, there are people who have a diagnosed history of psychological issues, and then there are people who have them and don't know it. Mm. Right? So, how do you know if you have psychological issues that prevent you from taking the class?
Right, if you're not diagnosed, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, though, LifeSpring won this one. So, the jury, because this one went before a court, the jury found that her prior psychological problems, because she had diagnosed psychological problems, that made it impossible to determine whether or not LifeSpring had injured her. Mm. So she did not win. In 1984, in the only other case to go to a jury, a woman named Deborah Bingham won an $80,000 verdict. She was a dealer at an Atlantic City casino, and she came out of the training believing herself to be a new person. She had new energy and a zest for life, and she was like, they call it a LifeSpring high, where you come out and you're just like, mm-hmm. you believe you can take on the world. A few weeks after taking the second course, which was the advanced course, she woke up one morning feeling empty. For days, she couldn't stop crying. Over and over, she asked herself questions in LifeSpring jargon, like, what are you creating for yourself? What am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself? She couldn't sleep, eat, or work, and she had the shakes that had started during a LifeSpring exercise in which other trainees stood in front of her and repeatedly criticized her, making fun of her body, her jewelry, and her personality. She went into the psychiatric hospital. She went into a psychiatric hospital and stayed for a month. After she came out, she continued to have symptoms for years.
Because they freaking damaged her.
Yes, they're fucking with people's minds. They are literally cracking people's psyches.
Listen, I'm a pretty confident person. But if you're yelling at me and telling me all these things, I'm going to start thinking about these things. And then I'm like, I know it's not true, but is it? You know what I'm saying?
Well, John Hanley said that in the beginning of the trainings, they were using these harsh tactics, you know, their thing is that they want to break people down and rebuild a new person. So by the 80s, they realized that shit wasn't like completely okay.
This isn't working.
People were, you know, coming out with fucking psychological issues or even more psychological issues. So they changed a few of their tactics. One of the psychologists who reviewed their, you know, their tactics was like, yeah, they've only changed about 5% of actually what they do. It got to a point where they couldn't get liability insurance for the company anymore because they kept getting sued.
I imagine so.
And, yeah, so they were
yuppies like to sue motherfuckers.
Okay.
That's what a yuppie will do.
So instead of changing their tactics, they had people sign waivers. You agree not to sue us from anything that might happen to you, and if a problem should arise and you want to, you know, you want to fight about it, you agree to binding arbitration.
Oh, God.
So you can't take us before a judge.
I can't or sign a jury. That. I'm sorry.
I don't know how many companies I worked for that would like had that shit, and I was like,
they all want to do arbitration because they don't want to go to court.
But yeah, but like you're literally like if something happens to me, I'm fucking suing you.
I'm suing you.
Well, you signed the arbitration agreement. I don't give a
fuck. I signed it under duress.
There it is. I wanted this job.
Okay? Duress.
I wanted this job.
I needed the job. Yeah.
And look, if you don't sign something in HR, they will hunt you down.
Did you fill your cup up and did not fill mine?
It's empty.
You heard me crunching all the ice. You knew it was good.
I wasn't listening to you. I was talking.
Well, good, because I didn't want the podcast to hear me crunching ice. So if you didn't hear it, they didn't hear it.
not everybody who had issues sued. Some people sought out deprogrammers to deprogram them to fix their issues. Clarence Thomas's wife went to a deprogrammer.
Okay.
She didn't sue.
Okay.
They didn't sue because of likely embarrassment. Mm-hmm. The attorney that said that people who sought out deprogrammers, he's like, yeah, people who hold positions of power in government or at their companies, they don't want to tell people because when you go to court, you're going to have to say what happened to you.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't want to tell somebody that they put a collar on my neck and made me, you know,
bark like a dog,
crawl around on hands and knees and snort like a pig,
bark like a big dog,
make me undress and go stand on top of, you know, this building, or, you know, they didn't want to divulge those things.
Yeah.
So instead they sought out deprogrammers who basically helped undo what these fucking people did to them.
That's crazy. Oh, so they asked a bill for my deprogrammer.
Yeah. Clarence Thomas's wife decided that she was going to do something about this.
Okay.
And they were declared a cult.
Ah. I knew we had a cult on our hands.
They were declared a cult, I want to say, in the early 90s. But she had them declared a cult. I think it was after Clarence Thomas was elected to the Supreme Court, which was in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
They,
Is Al-Anon
They went defunct.
One? Is one called Al-Anon?
Not Al-Anon. Yes, Al-Anon. Okay. Al-Anon is a, It is a Scientology.
Oh.
A Scientology alcoholics program.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So anyway, the company lost its footing in the mid-90s, and they went defunct. However, there was a website. They had a bunch of websites, and people, of course, some of the trainers from the company tried to form their own LifeSpring-inspired companies, their own human potential companies, human potential movement companies, but they mostly didn't take off. So I just found that to be very interesting. LifeSpring, you know, the people, the third tier of their trainings was called the leadership program. And in the leadership program, that one was free. So you didn't have to pay for the leadership program, but you had to make a commitment, and I think it was like a lifetime commitment,
Jesus,
where you were going to recruit people to come in to take the basic training. So from that moment on, everybody in your life, you were going to convince them, make them curious, or cajole them into signing up.
Cajole them.
To take the basic program, which was $400 at the time of the article that came out in 1984.
They're making hella money.
And that's the thing. John Hanley became a multimillionaire from this course, offering these courses. And, you know, he's like, I believe in what I, like, the thing is, like, he wasn't trying to fuck up people's minds. He literally thought he was helping. He was helping people. He thought that he was helping the world. Like, and they were, their ideas, their mindset was that the more people who took the courses, the more people would improve themselves, and the better the world would be.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, they didn't go international.
Dude.
But they actually, or at least he, John Hanley, thought he was doing something good for people.
Well, that's why you have to self-reflect and check in. And when all of your freaking people are killing themselves, or going crazy, or drowning, or dying, and this, something's not right.
Well, here's what. It wasn't all the people. They claimed to train about 400,000 people. At the time of the article, it was 250,000 people. And only about 5% of people actually had, like, these issues. Which is crazy, right? But again, those are the people that reported the issues. A lot of them didn't say shit.
Exactly.
A lot of them just went
to deprogram.
A lot of them stayed silent. Even some people didn't do that. They probably just continued to
be stressed the fuck
to
out.
Unravel in private.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's, I don't like that.
And John Hamley said, well, you know, at the time, you know, 28% of Americans have mental health issues. So we're, you know, we're going to get some of them.
Bye, boy. Boy, bye.
So, I mean, he didn't have mental health issues. He said mental problems. They're called mental health people. So that's the story of LifeSpring.
What a dick. Cult, do it.
And yes, so it was a cult. And it's a cult. And the funny thing is, all cults aren't religious. You know what I mean? A cult doesn't have to be a religious cult. Most of them are. But a lot of them are just, if you get enough people that have a groupthink mentality, it's a fucking cult.
Yeah.
You got people using the same jargon, saying words that don't mean anything. Saying, just like we work as a fucking cult.
I think my gardening group might become a cult eventually.
Well, there's only 8 people. Right?
We have 160 members.
Do we?
On Facebook. They don't come to the
internationally.
Is everybody out there, you know, talking garden
talk? We're gonna start making words that don't, changing the meanings of words. So garden doesn't actually mean like planting seeds and like crops and flowers anymore. It means putting seeds in people's minds.
Oh yeah.
Are you guys out there gardening?
You guys out there gardening? How many gardens have you started?
Inception.
I love this. All right. Okay. Interesting. Fucking colds, dude. Brandy, do you have a thumbs up for the week? My fucking fingers got swollen up in here. It's hot. I'm hot.
Your fingers get swollen when it's hot?
They turn into sausages. Look at my hands.
Open the window.
Let's wrap this up.
Thumbs up. Okay, well, my thumbs up is that it's warming up again. It has been fucking cold for, you know, California. I mean, it's been in the 30s. Like, at night, I would wait, like, my alarm would go off and Bixby would tell me that it is 29 degrees. And I'm like, why is it 29 degrees right now at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Don't talk to me with that nonsense.
So, you know, it's starting to warm up. It was, what, 80-something today? Mm-hmm. Very nice. So the heat is on and I like it. And then in a month or two, I'm going to be like, oh, it's so fucking hot. But right now I'm enjoying the warm weather.
Cool.
What's your thumbs up for a week or something?
Well, we are going to be, doing an event at Bliss. It's the Spring Bazaar.
That's next week.
April 2nd. I'm planting gardens.
I'm gardening.
April 2nd at Bliss in Rosemond. And it's going to be a fun event. Brandy's making all kinds of thingums. I'm going to have dog biscuits. I'm hoping to keep moving forward in my real estate. I put some little marketing stuff together. I'm going to go walk my neighborhood and leave things on people's doors. And try and, you know, draw up some business. Drum up some business.
Go over there, like, to that,
Let's talk about
Sky Mart. Whatever the fuck their place is, those houses over there?
Yeah. Where they're building? Or the rentals?
No, they're not building. The houses. The houses over there? Oh. The Sky Mart or whatever. What are they called? Sky Park Market? Whatever the fuck they're called. That little mini mart over there.
Yeah.
Go over there and put some...
Sell those houses?
Yeah, like, you know, put your flyers or...
I'm gonna eventually do the whole town. That's my goal. No, I'm just kidding. I'm gonna figure it out. But, you know, I'm just getting my shit together, getting my shit in order. I need to get over this cold already. But, I mean, that's pretty much about it. Just been doing a little Netflixing and chilling.
Oh, yeah?
No. Me and Bren. Like, get out of my bed. She's just like, what's up?
I see. My daughter is turning into a monster. I had planned, like, I didn't plan it, but I was, like, I had intended to do a day of, like, watching Disney movies. We were going to watch Turning Red. We were going to watch...
Encanto?
Yeah, she's seen that a million times, but I haven't seen it yet. So we're going to watch that. We're going to watch an old throwback Disney movie that she hasn't seen yet. Mm-hmm. But she's such a butthead. I don't want to do anything with her. I just want her out of my space.
Punch her in the eye one time.
Oh, okay. She got hit in the face with a ball.
Or a shoe. A boot.
Well, we can't say that to her teachers. Oh. When they say, why does she have a black
eye? Oh, got it, got it. I understand. Gotcha.
She was playing and a ball hit her.
Oh,
in the
no,
face.
She fell. Oh, no, she's clumsy.
Let them check. Oh, I hit my face on a doorknob.
What? Girl, bye. Somebody shoved your face in it. I could tell.
Somebody punched you. What happened?
Anyway, you know, I'm just trying to fight the good fight and...
Wait, what's the good fight?
Living.
Being alive.
Being alive, paying your bills.
Taking my next breath.
Being able to buy food and gas. God. Listen. Jesus, it's so hard to live right now.
And what sucks is this. Gas prices are going up, so food prices are going up. Mm-hmm. And other goods prices are going up. So, y'all better be turning to the fucking dollar stores, 99 cent stores, and your Dollar Trees, because at least you can get food for $1.25 yes. there.
And support it's your local, food, support still. Your local business. Support yes. that local business.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's local. The prices shouldn't be that high, but they probably are, because niggas gotta live too. You know what I'm saying? So, we're gonna get through this, we're gonna be okay, guys. And, if you've got it to give... Check us out on Patreon.
Yes.
Yes. Patreon us. Do it. Do it. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, thank you for being here.
I think I'm going to make a crochet item for Patreon, our Patreon supporters. So, like, we'll do a raffle and, or a drawing. And
okay.
Somebody will win and we can send it to them.
I like that, Brandy. Okay, patrons. Y'all know who y'all are. Brandy's making something special for you. Other than that, thank you guys for being here. If you aren't already, subscribe, follow, come back. We'll be back next week. And I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Flix.
And this was Book of Lies. The podcast.
It's Bolt Bitches.